On Sunday afternoons, we've been taking a look here at the subject, how not to cultivate rebellion in our children. We've got a great blessing with our children, yet a great challenge with our children. And we need to raise them in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. We need to be a good witness of good things in Christ and to them. And we need to know that we are their teachers. Last time, we've taken a look at this in a concentration on the thought and the subject of this verse in Proverbs 22, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, where the scripture says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We ask the question sometimes, but why doesn't that work? Why doesn't that work? Why is that the case? But it doesn't work sometimes. Why? Why is that the case? Well, as Brother Stephen brought out in his Sunday school lesson this morning, there are so many things that are going on in these lives as far as the working of our Lord, his great plan that he's executing, his working amongst the inhabitants of men. And then as we come away from what our Lord is doing, which is there, is real, sometimes we understand it, sometimes we don't understand it. All souls and all hearts are before the Lord and that. And we come down here to where you and I live, we're accountable. We're living life. We don't know the beginning from the end. We know right now. We know the past. We don't know the future. And I believe that there is a responsibility that mankind has, and there is a charge from the Lord and a command from the Lord to hearken unto him, to hear what he says and believe him and trust him and follow him in what he says. And all that rolled in together is hard for us to reconcile and understand, but it's reconciled in our Lord, and you and I are called to obey him. So why is this? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why doesn't it work sometimes? Well, last time we took a look and considered about this point of we need to train up our children with voice control. Train up with voice control. That's the expectation of the Lord. He speaks, and we're to obey. Now, we know that we disobey, but the Lord's children, he corrects, doesn't he? And then those that are not the Lord's and those that are unbelieving, unrepentant, they have that of the command of the Lord at hand. If they were such that the word of God was near unto them, the kingdom of God was near unto them, and they are responsible for what they've heard. So voice control is an expectation of the Lord with us, and I think it's a good expectation we should have for our children. We need to have their attention. We need to have their attention, and they need to hear us. Remember what the Scripture says in Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. And this is for daughters too. Give me thine heart, the parent says, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So, in training up with voice control, we need to not lie to our children, but we need to tell the truth to our children. And what do we mean by that? When we speak, we need to back up what we say. We need to back up what we say. The only way that we can have voice control over our children is to, when we say a thing, back it up and make it happen. We can speak so many words, and we saw that there, in a multitude of words, there can be a lot of vanity that happens, a lot of a possibility for sin in that. And you and I, we instruct our children, and we don't back up what we say. We don't follow through with what we say. We train our children to ignore our word because they know we don't really mean what we're saying anyway. And as parents, we have a lot of distractions, but we've got to work through those distractions and always understand that our job as parents is 100% of the time type of job. It's a full-time job. We signed up for it. And even when we're distracted as parents, we've got to pay attention to what we've told our children and always back it up, no matter what it is. Remember, the issue is what the Lord has told us. That's what we're to hear and obey. And whether the Lord says listen to me, and we don't. Or the Lord says, don't steal, and we do. Or the Lord says, don't murder someone, and we do. All of it is sin against God. All of it is transgression. So the issue is transgression. The issue is fault before the Lord and not obeying Him. So we need to train up with voice control. As a brother said years ago, we need to quit lying to our children and threatening them and saying that it's going to be a certain way and not following through, but always following through so they know that our word is going to be the truth. The next thing that we need to look at, and what we want to look at this afternoon, is this. In Proverbs 23:26 again, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. We are all, as parents, we need to train up our children with voice control. We need to train up our children, and there not be hypocrisy at hand. We need to speak and back up what we say. Otherwise, don't say it. But we need to be training our children, and we need to be correcting our children, because foolishness is bound up in their hearts. So it's our job to drive it away and drive that out. It's bound up in there. I mean, it's bound up there with cords and fetters. And so it's the work of a parent to do that. But we see here that we need to train them up without hypocrisy. What do you mean by that? For a child to give us their heart and to be helped and guided by observing our ways, if we look to instruct them in the truth, the holiness, and the righteousness of the Lord, it's got to be more than what we say. Because children see through all that. If we tell our children, read your Bible, but they don't know that we read our Bible, what are they going to do? Just as a simple example, if we tell our children, follow the Word of God, it's the most important thing you can do, but they don't see us following the Word of God, it's a hollow and vain witness, isn't it? It's hypocrisy. We say, but we don't do ourselves. See how it says there, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe what I am doing too. Again, as I've said before, I don't come to you as one that has it all together and am telling you to follow me. We need to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In these studies and in the consideration of this subject and these different sub-subjects in the Word of God, we see our evident failure. And we ask the Lord, need to ask the Lord to forgive us and to help us going forward. We know the Lord Jesus and our great God. He has the way and He has the ability and the strength and the power to help us to do these things well. We need to go to Him as parents, grandparents, any that would have an influence over a young child. Remember, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Values and character are caught, not taught. Values and character are caught and not taught. What we say is one thing, but what we do is the thing that really speaks. And so, train up a child in the way that they should go. I tell you what, they need to see you and I following in that way. They need to see us following the word that we give and we direct to them, that we're sold out, that we are convicted and convinced that that is the way for us to go too. We love for any person to come to our services, don't we? And you remember, do you remember Junior and Mary Ann? It was good to have Junior and Mary Ann with us. From time to time, I think about them and pray for them. And it was good to have them here. Their parents, and not to rail on them at all, their parents were willing for them to come, and I'm glad that Sister Diane and her family was willing to bring them and to have them come and be with us. We miss them, and we pray that the Lord's hand would be upon them wherever they are. But so many times we see people sending their children to church services, and don't come themselves. What's the message that's being told there? Well, honey, it's important for you, but it's not important for me. I tell you what, all things being equal and the way it works amongst men, mankind, it won't be important to them too. Now, you know what? In all of this, our Lord can intervene. So not discounting that at all. The graciousness and mercy of the Lord can transcend so many things that are done wickedly and wrong and in a disobedient way to our Lord. But here we're speaking today about our responsibility. And so values and character are caught, not taught. The way you and I are is what we indeed teach our children and needs to jibe with the Word of God in our speech and our action. I cannot be a hypocrite as a parent. But when I am, I must condemn being so. Hear that? I cannot be a hypocrite towards my children, but when I am, I must condemn that being so is not right before the Lord. It's not right for them. It's not right for me. And then there's an aspect here about being the hypocrite. Folks have said, you've heard it said, well, I can't get on my children for doing this or that because I did it myself. I can't tell them to don't go that way because I went that way when I was their age too, so I can't say anything. They say, I'm being a hypocrite if I do that. Well, I'll tell you what, if whatever the Word of God says don't go that way, even if you and I did it, hear me, we need to go ahead and be the hypocrite and tell them what God says. Because it was wrong when I did it, and it's wrong when they do it. And so there's these two elements here about this subject of not training them up in hypocrisy or without hypocrisy that is that way. What I say needs to match what I do. And then when they look to go a wrong way that I went to, tell them what God says. And go ahead and be the hypocrite telling them what God has said. And you understand how I mean that, being the hypocrite tongue in cheek. What God says is what we need to tell them. We need to never revel in our sin before our children. We need to never need to glory in our sin before our children. But there are times that we can tell them about our disobedience and warn them it cost me and it was against God and you need to stay away from it too. Hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 23, verse number 4, Matthew chapter 23, our Lord Jesus Christ speaking about some here. Let's just take a look at this subject of hypocrisy and see some aspects and characteristics of it. In Matthew 23, verse number 4, Jesus is speaking to the multitude here. We can just jump to verse number 4. He says, for these, the scribes and the Pharisees who sit in Moses' seat, verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's what hypocrisy looks like. They say for another, but they have no do. And we can be that way towards our children. We can say, but have no witness of it in our own lives. What will they listen to? Our words? No. They'll listen to what we do. In Luke chapter 11, the Lord again dealing with such here in verse number 46, which is the target verse that we have. He's rebuking the Pharisees and the lawyers here. Listen to what he says. And he said, woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. We can have speech that points to the Lord, speech that points to the right things that God says, but if that's not manifested in our lives, our own lives, we were found hypocrites indeed before our children. Now remember, the best hypocrite seeker and flusher outer is a child. I mean, they see it. I mean, they put it together. They are enough. I think that with children, they are enough on the innocent side, especially when they're little. when they're young, when they're tender, that they just see things plainly. You can ask them things about the Word of God and what the Word of God is saying, and I'm not talking about deep doctrinal theological things, but they can just tell you point blank what very simple things are saying in the Scripture. And you and I go around scratching our heads because they have that innocence about them yet. Hypocrisy is ugly, isn't it? Not even putting forth the finger. Oh, they say so much, and the hypocrite speaks so much about what the other should do that it's not found in them. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Well, I tell you what, if we do it with our mouths only, what are they getting? They're getting what they see in us. We have other passages here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, a Sermon on the Mount here. We see another aspect regarding hypocrisy here, Lord Jesus teaching about it, of that we can go on the record for saying the right thing, but don't do anything. We can go on the record for saying what is right. That's what hypocrisy will do. But we're only on the record for saying the right thing and not doing it ourselves. Matthew 6. Verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse number 16. Let's go ahead and read it. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, a continued element about hypocrisy is that there's this outward show and this outward speech of saying and doing the right, saying the right thing. But why? Do we teach and instruct our children for the show and the showcase of others, and not for their ultimate correction and guidance? Is there a dealing with children that we have in public and it's different at home? See, it's to be the same always. See, hypocrisy, our children will pick up in a hurry if we do one thing at the store, another thing at church, and another thing at home. It's hypocritical. I tell you what, it can breed confusion even in the heart of a child. We need to be one way. One way with them. All these three examples, what did they want? They wanted what they said and what they pursued and what they did to be a show for the world. But the thing is, the Lord said they had their reward right then because God is no part of it at all. They never reached God with their prayers. They were not honored by the Lord in what they gave. And it was all hollow and vain because what did it say? It said they have their reward because they want to have the glory of men, verse number 2. They want to, what's it say there? That they may be seen standing on the corners of the streets. They may be seen of men. See, We can look to do with our children for the sake of others around us, but we're not doing what needs to be done for their sakes and honesty before the Lord. It's hypocrisy. And so, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. If we train them in hypocrisy, they'll become masters of it. Amen? Yeah. We got to watch. You know what? You know what it takes to be a parent that's pursuing what the Lord says? It takes an honest and good heart before the Lord, of the individual, of the child of God, before the Lord. May God help us. May God help us. May we not train our children for show to others. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You compare yourself with others? I tell you what, you need to take that and pitch that out. You need to compare yourself to the Lord. We need to follow and pursue our Lord. And we need to take the lives and the hearts of our children and direct them to the Lord in an honest way, in a true way, in a right way. And not in hypocrisy, but in righteousness and goodness and obedience to the Lord. Our children, the conviction that we want for them and that we impose upon them in their lives, you understand how I mean that? We need to be convicted of holiness and obedience and for the sake of our children and obedience to the Lord and our families. And our children need to see that it's real in us. Not something that we're just getting checked off the list. Not something that we're doing to make the church happy or those around us happy or our parents happy, the grandparents happy or whatever. But that we're looking to be obedient to the Lord. Our children will know when it's hypocritical. Our children will know when it's true. When our children will look upon and see that mama and daddy or grandma and grandpa or their aunt and their uncle is convicted of the Lord, that this is what we should do and follow and stay away from. It's not wise. It's not wise to measure ourselves by one another. We need to measure ourselves by what God has said, by the Word of God and by our Lord. We need to get over comparing ourselves among ourselves. You know what? The rearing of my children, that day is past. I can be a witness to my children and be a suggester of good things and all that. But that time I have them in my household to train them and to guide them and to teach them when they're impressionable in that, that day is past. But I tell you what, if you still got that time, be real. Be real before the Lord. And be convicted of the Lord yourself in your soul and in your home. And you know what? Your children will see that. They see when we're hypocrites too. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we've recently taken a look at this in a passage in Titus. But it's apropos. Again, of course, not everyone, and ladies, you are not. You're not a pastor. You're not a preacher of the Lord in the strictest sense, in the ministry in the church and the missionary work and evangelism and that working of the church. We are all witnesses of the Lord and preachers of righteousness in that way. We do declare something out of our lives. But for the Word of God, for the man of God, one of the qualifications here, and understand, all the qualifications of a pastor are moral. They're nearly all moral. Oh yeah, there is a spiritual, scriptural, biblical element of the knowledge of God that's needed, but I tell you what, if a man is not moral, he's not qualified. And so that's the reason that starts that way. Otherwise, what's happened? He may know the Word of God better than any other person ever. But if he's not moral, his testimony is hypocritical, isn't it? Because he doesn't follow it himself. 1 Timothy 3, 4, qualification here, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. The word gravity is speaking about honesty. That I don't instruct my children one way over at the house and one way here in front of the church, but that it's one way of conviction from the Lord and His Word and His truth, desiring that the Lord have impact in them as the Lord has had impact in me, and teaching them what I have got from the Word of God and from the Lord, and being convicted and a change in my life to show them and give it to them, being an example. Not just being somebody that's spoken, but didn't do, didn't obey. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 7, a brother that's to be a pastor of a church, and it's good for all the children of God. It's a principle that's at hand for all of us. And all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, honesty. Honesty needs to be at hand as we rear our children. In times past, I've spoken about the law of a father and a mother. That in parallel with the word of the Lord, the law that God has given, the oracle of God, the word of God, the law of God, there's a blessing for the law of a mother and of a father for their word. The speech that comes from parents must be backed up by obedience to our Lord's word and faith in it themselves. That's the only way it'll be of impact. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, we need the full counsel of God. Having one or two or three horses is not enough. We need all the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, to convey the whole counsel of God unto them. Brother Jim, I can't do that. I know it. It's the reason you and I need the Lord's help. It's the reason we need to be filled with those things. We need to add to those our faith, those things that Peter declares in 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and be looking for that and looking to change that and tweak that and turn that and ask the Lord for help in that in our lives. That even in our ignorance, that the Lord would supersede and transcend the gaps that we leave all over the place. That we would know and that we would seek our Lord's face for help to do this great job that we have before us of rearing our children. And that our word would be backed up by what we do and what we follow in. And our children would see it. It would come to a day that our children would say, you know what? Mom and Daddy, they believed the Lord and they lived it. They just didn't talk about it and did something else. The law of a father and a mother. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, Brother Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The speech of a father and a mother backed up by obedience to the Lord's word and their unfeigned faith in it. Not faked faith, but real faith. I believe this. I'm living this. And while you're here living with me, you're going to live it too. All of it without hypocrisy. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20 through 24, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck, if you will, because it made a difference in your mother and your father's life too. See, not just something that they said, but something that they lived. Something that was real, something that was a part of them, that the Lord had given them and blessed them with. All without hypocrisy. He says, when thou goest, Proverbs 6:22, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman and the evil man, and from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman and the strange man too. Proverbs 28, verse number 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men or women shameth his parents. Parents, may we train up our children to where they hear, when they hear our voice, they know that it's so. They know that we're going to back up what we say, and it's just not going to be empty words. That we work to have few words that count, so that they might learn that when we speak, we really mean what we're saying, and we're going to back it up. Voice control, like the Lord's design is. And then may we train up our children. May we train up our children, and may we influence those children that we have around us. May we train them up without hypocrisy. Not just talking about the way of the Lord. Not just talking about what they should do. But hearing it and believing it ourselves, and they see it in our lives, what we tell them. Can you imagine? A child trained up on empty words that are never backed up, what would they get? A child trained up on hypocritical words that are never backed up by action of the parent. No wonder that training would fail. Amen? But if they see it's coming from the heart, it's coming from a changed heart by the Lord that's convicted about the Word of God, maybe there, by the help and the blessing of the Lord, there would be a touching of another soul and witness. We are witnesses to our children, are we not? And the thing is, we're more of a witness to them and those of our own households than we are anybody, because they know us and they see us through and through. May God help us. Lord willing, next time we're going to take this into a more practical realm. And I just want to give you this for thought between now and the next message, whenever that would be, next Sunday afternoon or so, whatever the Lord leads in. Brothers and sisters, parents, grandparents, there is a spirit. You know, it says in Galatians that we're to try, I think it's Galatians or John, first John's epistles, we're to try the spirits and see whether they be of God, right? There's voices that are going out. I want each and every one of us this week to evaluate this in our own lives. There's a spirit at hand that can prevail that says this: child, you do this good, you do this well, and I'll allow this. Hear that? You do this good, and I will allow this sin. Does that happen? Is that a spirit that's at hand? You do this good, and I'll allow this over here. Think about that. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us in it indeed.